on, and then I forgot to start it.
Okay, so we previously called the meeting to order. At this time in our agenda, I'm actually going to start with a moment of silence. So if you'll all stand and join me. We've lost a really valuable employee recently, Olivia Libby Rich. And so if you join me in a moment of silence, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. I know Olivia had an impact on so many people in our district, in our community, her friends, and of course her family, so we offer our sympathy to them and ask for prayers for peace for them as everybody works through their grief. So now if you'll remain standing, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And thank you, Mrs. Lentz, for hosting our meeting tonight. First on our agenda is a motion to adopt our agenda for tonight.
So
moved. Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve Courtney Roberts as the Classified Employee of the Month for January 2020.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers.
And I know Courtney wasn't able to join us tonight, but okay. I will read the highlights. And as you know, this is an award that's selected by your peers, so I think that's always special when that happens. So she serves as... at Edgewood Elementary. So Courtney goes above and beyond in her daily duties and responsibilities at Edgewood Elementary. She does her own job and helps where anywhere that she is needed. She's a real team player. She is great with the kids and is kind and respectful to all. She has become so well loved by the staff and students that teachers actually give visit nurse Courtney as rewards in the classroom. Courtney has just completed her BSN classes and brings so much knowledge to the job. She completely cleaned and organized the clinic, making it user-friendly to someone coming in to help out if she's unavailable. I can't express enough how wonderful it is to work with such a caring individual, and I feel confident that she can take care of any emergency that comes up. So congratulations to Courtney, and thank her for her work at Edgewood.
We certainly will. How about a roll call to make it official?
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Courtney. And even though she's not here, for the record, appreciate what she does. Next up, we're going to have a presentation from Raymond Elementary.
And if it's okay, we'll do our community
That'd be wonderful.
Partnership award first. Yep. Awesome. Raymond's Community Partnership Award this year is going to the Union County Sheriff's Department. I apologize, Sheriff Patton, I didn't put your name on here.
No.
But no. I'll have Deputy Casey do
it.
Well, there you go.
Bring
on, right? Come on up. But you are more than welcome to come on up, Sheriff Patton. If you would like to, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Raymond Elementary is kind of a unique elementary in Marysville. We are not served by Marysville PD. We have the honor of being supported by the Sheriff's Department. And it's been a great partnership ever since I took over at Raymond Elementary. They have helped with our safety drills and anytime I've needed support, sometimes maybe with a parent that maybe needs some extra help. But they've been there for us regardless. In addition, this year we have the privilege of having our own SRO officer now. So Deputy Casey, we welcomed him this year. I know, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. So he's coming in, doing some DARE lessons with us, with our kids. Also just establishing a relationship. We've kind of partnered him up with some students that just need a little extra love and support, and honestly to have, I think, a positive relationship with law enforcement. So he does really anything that's asked. He even goes out and does, you know, morning bus duty with me and greets the kids. So we've just been so pleased to have him. And I just appreciate the support, Sheriff Patton, that you've given Raymond Elementary and Marysville Schools, and letting him come, but as you know, in everything that you guys have done for us. So this is for you guys. Just our community partnership award. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before you shake
hands.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. We'll just put my hand around. I'm so used to. No, I got a quick hand. I'm sorry, Diane. You can't take me anywhere. I know, right? I'm so sorry.
Are you
what?
Scoot your little closer together.
Okay. There you go. One. Oh, there we go. He's scared of me now.
You guys are good.
There we go.
All right. And we'd like to shake your hands as well. Come on, guys. Yes, you get to run down the line here.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I was you beat me to it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And I think when I was here recently, I actually caught him getting hugged in the hallway by several students, you know, so he's
absolutely
clearly making some connections. Yep.
Please, you guys, you don't feel like you have to stay for my presentation. But you are more than welcome to stay.
Well, just a real quick. We appreciate the relationship, and you know, we like, as you said, we've been up here on other projects and mm-hmm. programs, and you know, we being out in the rural area, Raymond area, we feel that you know the need and having someone up here. I wish we could put somebody up here full time, but Mike's going to, you know, spend as much time up here as possible, and it's so critical with our youth today, mm-hmm. building that relationship with them and knowing them, letting them know that we're here for them. So many times they see us in a different role when we're visiting their home and dealing with their mom or dad or a sibling. So this gives us a positive relationship that. We can hopefully make a difference and change our kiddos' lives and show them a path of success and being a contributor to society. So we're excited about it and seeing it in the future. So thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, welcome to Raymond. So tonight I wanted to just take a few minutes to kind of give you an overview. I know we are hearing a lot in the news about social-emotional learning. What is that? What does that look like in the schools? So I just wanted to, we talked about it last year with regards to the PACS program that Raymond had implemented, but I kind of wanted to give you a little bit of an update on that and then also talk about some new things that we've implemented. So that's going to be the focus for tonight. So what does this look like at Raymond? You may or may not know, but we do have a four-pronged approach in the district, beginning with evidence-based prevention programs. We also have universal screening for risk, evidence-based interventions, and then we also have community partnerships. So I wanted to start just by taking a minute to look at our universal screening that we do for our boys and girls. This year, we implemented a new program. It's called the Cell Web. We've had a behavioral screening that we used in the past, but it was actually conducted by the teachers that would complete a checklist. The new Cell Web diagnostic tool that we're using is actually taken by the students online. So students are given questions, they're presented with different pictures for emotion recognition, and they're actually taking the diagnostic. And you can see emotion recognition, social perspective taking is all looked at, social problem solving, and even self-control. So we're getting all of that information, all of those domains that we can then go in and perform and do some pretty intensive interventions. This is just our overall achievement data, but within this, we can actually dive in and look at each domain separately, which, again, it gives us just critical information. You can kind of see the well below and the below are the red and the yellow. Our kindergarten is really probably this year especially one of the grade levels that we're focusing a lot on. But they're also learning how to play school. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the rules? Self-control, we're working a lot on this year, but that's all good. But anyway, this I just wanted to kind of give you an overview of the diagnostic tool that we're using. So once we get all that data, then what do? So we meet periodically. We're actually giving the cell web at the beginning of the year, and then we'll give it again at the end. But we meet in our MTSS meetings three times a year to take a look at the academic data of our students, but we're also now looking at the social-emotional data as well. So we can give some, again, very specific interventions. Some of the ones that we're using, the zones of regulation, you might have heard about that. We've used that in the past. We're continuing that with some of our students, just helping boys and girls just understand their feelings. And, you know, are you in a mindset? Are you in the green zone that you can go ahead and learn and do your best work today? We also are continuing with PACS and the PACS Heroes. PACS Heroes is that second step, that tier two intervention. We definitely worked more intensively with that area this year with our PACS partner. So it's performing some classroom-based interventions. But knowing the type of students that we have and the needs, we can then go in and talk about, so what kernel, you know, what evidence-based kernel is going to best fit the needs. You know, maybe a teacher really doesn't like doing Beat the Timer, but for some of our kids, you know, that's a proven intervention that we need to have for those students who need it. So PACS Heroes is still going on. And then this year, we've actually included second step curriculum. And our guidance counselor actually pulls our boys and girls, and those intervention lessons are conducted in small groups typically. These are the number of students that we're currently serving. So those were those students that had that yellow or red area, according to the data. You can see we have just a handful in each grade level. Kindergarten and second grade, we're also doing those whole group lessons, because especially for our kindergarten classes, we realized we could be pulling out quite a few small groups. Mm-hmm. It was just better to go in and do some whole class lessons. And Mr. Sackhouse, you can see there's a picture of him working with one of our kindergarten classes. This is so much more targeted than what we were doing before. And part of that is having the data that we do have now, but now we are also, like I said, using that second step curriculum to go in. And the boys and girls are receiving lessons weekly, which helps, you know, they can. And then in addition to the intervention pullouts, the lessons, Mr. Stackhouse goes into the classroom and performs coaching right in the classroom with the child. And then it's one of the things we're working on is just helping that communication piece between the teacher and Mr. Stackhouse, just so that all of that can be a little more cohesive. So it's just still an area that we're working on. So those are interventions that we're using, but I'm a firm believer, you know, the best intervention is a prevention. So we have a lot of prevention programs at Raymond, and I just wanted to share some of those. Again, PACS. That has been a game changer for Raymond. Just having that common language across the building. Boys and girls are practicing those regulation skills. And their self-regulation as well as co-regulation with their peers. You know, being able to get excited but then being able to put the brakes on and then get back into learning. All of those things, you know, PACS can help us And again, it's a common language across the board. We were very fortunate this year to get our have our classified staff also trained this year, so that's helped. Again, they're using that common language with our boys and girls. And then, of course, our habits of mind. We continue to talk to the boys and girls about, you know, what are those Raymond habits of mind? Are you being respectful, resilient, resourceful, reflective? And it's exciting to hear, you know, now that we've had those for a few years, the kids can tell us. And it's like, oh, yes, so what does it mean, though, you know, if you're being respectful? And they're able to talk about that. So I just wanted to share, again, here's a picture. It's awesome to have our PACS partners. Kim Kinsey's in the background, but mm-hmm. she still comes in and helps supports our teachers. We were just kind of doing a recap on the PACS Heroes this year, which was awesome. And then for our Habits of Mind, our boys and girls receive ROAR Awards. So you may see, I tweet that out whenever they can come down. I meet and have lunch with them at the end of the month. So if they've received a ROAR Award, then they'll get to come and have lunch. It's kind of, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's one of the best times, I think, just to get to hear, you know, what's going on in their lives as well. But it's also fun for them. They get their name on the announcements and all that good stuff. The Kindness Crew. So this one, this year, I've done a better job utilizing the Kindness Crew. This was a brainstorm idea from our fourth grade teachers. And the Kindness Crew is actually their peers nominate them and vote them in at the beginning of the year. So these are boys and girls that, you know, their classmates, they know that they're, you know, the ones that are always, you know, they're kind, they're, you know, good friends. I have to tell you, I love this group. I love all my kids. But this group, they are so much fun. They go in with me and we pull kids out to do maybe a positive phone call home, a Raymond ring. They've helped me this month. We're doing a Raymond Kindness Month. And so they were instrumental in, we brainstormed and we came up with ideas. They wanted to have the teachers decorate doors and what else? Oh, we did quotes, daily quotes for all the boys and girls to hear. And we did the kindness catchers. And it's just been, I don't know, that I think because they helped, so now they're out promoting it, you know, even more. So that was that. I just love that group. We still have our pride groups. So we have, and I know I've talked to you guys, I think, about that before. But our pride groups are cross-grade level groups that stay together throughout their career, and then the fourth graders lead those. So all of these are those socially inclusive activities and practices that we want to help our boys and girls, again, feel like they're a part of our community and that they matter and that they care, that we care about them. We also have Math Club, and this is an after-school club that the teachers, they are, a couple of teachers, Mrs. Goodman and Brittany Kramer, my first grade teacher. They've kind of split it this year, so Brittany does the first and second graders, and Onda does third and fourth. But, you know, we could have probably a lot more, but we had to kind of put a cap on it just for, you know, safety and management. But we have like 30 kids in each of those groups that stay once a month, you know, to have fun with math. And I loved it because this month the fourth graders brought down some of their extension projects that they were working on in class on fractions, and they were helping the third graders learn more about fractions, the fourth graders. So they were taking what they were doing in class and then carrying it over to the after-school club, which was really cool. But they love it, and I love that they're having fun with math. And then we also have Girls on the Run Club that Adrian Dara and Tina Garrison are our coaches. And again, just another group that our kids can be a part of. And I think, you know, when we continue to build those relationships, and make our kids, when we know their passions and their interests, then we can obviously serve them better in the classroom and outside. So we also have community partnerships, and we have our safety resource officers. See, you're still in the game here. So there's a picture of Deputy Casey, and he was working with a group of our first graders, going over some DARE lessons. We still, bless her heart, Mary Davis still comes and works with our kids as a volunteer. But just having people outside the community that want to come in and work with our kids and form connections, again, I think it just shows them, you know, that you are a part of a bigger community. We also have our Mary Haven resource. So if we have students that need maybe a little extra counseling, some extra support, we have that as well. I also think it's really important for our boys and girls, not only is it important for them to see folks coming in, but also for us to give back. And we have a couple of service learning projects that I think it just helps our boys and girls understand that they're part of a larger community, and that what you do, you know, can make a difference in someone else's life. The third graders, they run this. They love counting all the items and sorting it all. But we took the items just over to the church next door for the local food pantry. And then they wrote us, of course, a nice little card that, you know, we were able to share back with the boys and girls. But it's just important. It's just important for our kids to have those opportunities. We also last year took part in Honor Flight. We raised $2,500. Our goal was $500. We did get some extra community support from different businesses and organizations. But our boys and girls were so proud of the fact that, you know, they could help, you know, send a veteran to Washington, D.C. Bill Swatter was our local veteran that we sent last year. We are in the process of collecting money this year. And the Kindness Crew, they helped me, and we served floats and then asked for donations. We've already met our goal of 500 and exceeded that, and that's just with the money that our boys and girls have raised. I do have to tell you, too, I had a mom, bless her heart, she came to me and she said, I'm dropping off Ryan's donation, and she said, just so you know, he wanted to give the veterans his life savings. He had saved up $100. And it touched my heart. And she said, but I talked him out of it. And I said, no, I don't blame you a bit. But it was like, and she said, so we're still giving a donation. Will you just tell him you got the donation? I said, absolutely. Yeah. But I saw him in the cafeteria, and he was so excited about the float. And he said, I wanted to give $100. And he said, I said, no, buddy. I said, he goes, but the veterans needed it. And I said, you know what, sweetheart? I said, anything you gave, it'll be fine, and the veterans will appreciate it. But it's just, you know, I think just instilling that in our kids' lives. So anyway, I get it. Yeah. Okay. You know me. And one other thing I just wanted to touch on. This was a brainchild of a parent, and he came to me and said, have you ever heard of random acts of culture? And I'm like, what? It's like, no, help me. So he had shared a video of something that he saw online, and he said, would you mind if we do something like this at Raymond? And I said, no, absolutely not. And I said, you know, we are constantly talking to our boys and girls about, you know, what are your passions, what are your interests? And I said, just seeing what's available or what other people are passionate about, it might inspire our boys and girls as well. We haven't had the response like we had hoped, but we hope to grow it next year. But we've had a musician. Bo, thank you.
Bo Johnston.
Yes. Came in and just spoke. He actually came close to Veterans Day and just talked to the boys and girls about that. And then Bob Krzyzewski. Kirby, I have to say that, right, came in and shared his parakeets that he raises. And he asked, he said, I don't know if that fits within your scope. And I said, absolutely, come on in. And he invited Sue to come as well. But it's just, again, you know, people from the outside wanting to come and share their passions. And just, I think that just opens up experiences for our boys and girls. And they loved it, by the way. They were fascinated. So all of that's good, but what's our data telling us? I had shared a graphic last year of office referrals. And so far, our office referrals, this is for the 2019-2020 school year, we've gone down consistently in office referrals. So those are the more severe times when I have to get involved, call home, call a parent, things like that. But we, our office referrals are definitely decreasing, which is it's good for me. I can be out in the classrooms and supporting teachers and kids that way. Our HOPE survey data is going in the right direction. This is fall 2018 to fall 2019. Still not where I want it to be as far as the percentage. These are positive survey results. But belonging, engagement, HOPE management. HOPE was the largest gain, which I liked. So we're moving in the right direction. Again, we still have work to go, work to do, but you always like to see when it's going in the right direction. So what are our kids telling us? I thought maybe you might like to hear a little bit from the Kindness Crew. You're getting a sneak preview. This is the video, or snippets of the video, that we'll be putting out this month. Raymond is the featured school. So I wanted to highlight the Kindness Crew. So I'm just going to share a little bit. And these are real quick. And the question was, how do they make Raymond a better place?
Well, we help make Raymond a better place because we show that, like, we need to be kind, and you don't need, like, it's not okay to be rude and be unkind to other people. Like, you just need to be kind all the time. Adding on to what Jenna said, like, when we get, when we're kind, when other students around the building are kind, they get rewards, but it's not just about the awards. They need to also keep being kind, even though they know that they're going to get the awards, then they should still have no problem being kind. Also, another reason that we make Raymond a better place is because if, like, we help encourage people, like, if they're down, we help encourage them to keep pushing through it. And when we show up in a classroom and we take someone out, that also encourages the rest of the class to keep being kind because good things can happen. And it makes everybody feel good when either your friend or classmate gets picked. And it just makes everybody feel good because if you keep doing the things that they do, then you might get picked too.
So we're just going to make them feel proud because they're doing the right thing.
And then I'll just share one more. But this was Kylie, and what does being on the Kindness Crew, how does it make her feel?
It makes me, being on the Kindness Crew makes me feel like I am enough to be myself. Like, before that, I didn't feel as good as I do right now because I'm on the Kindness Crew, and it makes me feel happy that I can not only be happy for myself, but I can be happy for other people by giving them things that they deserve, and yeah, it just really makes me happy, and
No, we're paying kindly.
Sorry. It makes me...
We only need to hear that one. So, I thought it's always nice to hear from the kids. So, questions for me. I know I flew through a lot of information, but I really felt like it was important to give you guys an overview of, I know, it's just a hot topic, I think, right now, out in the community and everywhere.
So, how are the assessments going?
The CellWeb?
CellWeb.
It's great. So the students are actually taking it, so they're doing it online. And what we found when we analyzed is it really did line up with what the classroom teachers were already kind of seeing in the classroom. Mm-hmm. There were a few that, you know, maybe had the skills, but at the point of performance weren't performing, and we kind of tucked them into some of the intervention groups as well. But it really did line up. And it's the areas that we're assessing also are feeding into our new social-emotional standards that we'll be implementing, that we've already looked at created a continuum and things like that. So it definitely, yeah, it's giving us the right information, I feel like.
Love, love, love the increases on the hope survey. That's like from a shocker for me, right? Especially that hope indicator.
Yes.
I mean, you hear it from me all the time, right?
I know.
So we know that hope is just as important as reading math, if not more, as studies are coming through. So love, love, love that you're paying attention to that and being intentional about that instruction and making kids feel a part of their own learning and owning their learning.
So I was thinking about the whole social-emotional kind of curriculum. Like, I'm in music, and almost every kid can learn music, but every once in a while there'll be a kid who just almost can't. And is it like that with social-emotional, that almost all of them are able to improve as you work on it? But are there sometimes kids who just can't get it? And what happens if that's
the case?
Out? Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. There are kids that need more. You know, they may not, you know, the first few lessons, they may need additional lessons. I do know, and I've got a few of my friends that are now in fourth grade, and we've been at this, you know, even without the CellWeb and some of those intentional there, by the time they get to fourth grade, it's amazing. Like, some of our boys and girls that I really, you know, you just take them home at night, and it's just like, if we don't do something, you know, we know where they may end up. And they've made progress, and they're having an awesome year. Can I say we're going to do that with every single child? You know, my goal is absolutely yes. But we just may have to try different things. You know, we've got, I have kids that I do like a check-in, check-out every day. They come down at the beginning of school and at the end, and just, how did it go today? It's not an I gotcha. It's, okay, what can we do differently? We're just constantly, I think, seeking and trying to find different things. Maybe they need a buddy at a lower grade level that they're going to work with, and that's going to make them feel better. Maybe they need Deputy Casey to, you know, be a buddy and kind of check in and read with them, just to say hi, and it's just another adult. So some kids are just going to need different things, but the goal is for every child, to gain those skills. And I do believe they can. Sometimes we get parents involved, and we have stakeholder meetings. And we sit down and we say, you know, what other data do we need? We've done that even as early as kindergarten to have those meetings and those conversations. And sometimes you need, you know, that pediatrician support or, you know. So it's looking at each child individually and figuring out what that child needs.
Definitely everything you're doing, I mean, it aligns so much with personalized learning on the academic side. You know, you see this, and it's just, it's all a piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely.
And I love all of the different, the additional interventions that you're working on, and prevention strategies and partnerships, and random acts of culture, the kindness
yes.
program, you know, just it's really nice to see how you continue to add different options that to try and meet every single child. So,
exactly.
Good job.
One of the things, the pride groups,
yes.
you have been running those for...
That was from the former administration,
yeah,
and
I
it's
mean,
something I'm like, you know what, this is pretty cool stuff.
You know, having fourth graders lead groups that have, you know, students from each of the other grades all the way down to kindergarten.
Yes.
It's interesting that you still have those groups, but really have from that kind of grown the kindness crew and some of the other activities and things you're doing.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, it builds, you talk about building relationships between the staff and the kids. All of these things help the kids build relationships between each other. And that has to pay off in terms of, you know, the discipline that you see improving the way kids care about one another, care about others, and demonstrate on a daily basis their concerns, their leadership skills, just everything. And, you know, it's always fun to come and see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we will have a presentation on the K-4 redistricting project.
So we have Jonathan, obviously, and mm-hmm. then also Karen Daniel-Hamburg mm-hmm. from Cooperative Strategies, who have kind of led the process and the various levels of input. And tonight they're going to give you an overview. You do have an agenda item later up for approval for redistricting for next that would go into effect for next school year.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. Again, we wanted to do a presentation in regards to K-4 redistricting. Katie Karen from Cooperative Strategies is here. Been great to work with, so thank you. We also have a couple members from the redistricting task force. Shannon Brett's our district registrar. Of course, Carol Lentz, Karen Wells. Mm-hmm. So thanks for being here. So we'll jump right in. Really about process. You know, the goals with the redistricting task force was about stabilizing enrollment across the buildings, allowing for future growth, which was a major point for us, as we'll talk about here shortly. The redistricting task force was made up of parents representing each one of our elementary schools, as well as the building principals and other district staff. We met four times throughout the process. Now, I just want you to know that one of those four times, we met from, I think, 8 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. I think the principal still look at me a little bit with a glare.
On a Saturday.
Oh, ouch.
Man, we got a lot accomplished that day.
And pizza.
That's
right. Free lunch, yeah.
We got done before the Buckeye game. Transportation, again, was there at every meeting, too. And we really worked hard on developing different scenarios, but of course, too, part of the process was getting community feedback. And, you know, we received ample feedback via the online survey as well as 5 in-person meetings that were conducted at each one of our elementary buildings. And you didn't have to be a resident of that building. We just wanted to have one in each building. You could just go to any of the meetings that you wanted.
Yeah, and along with that, I just want to say we do this across the country. Like, I'm all over the place doing redistricting processes, and I've never really had such a pleasant experience. I would say I've never actively looked to buy a house in a district after working here, so I don't know if that's a compliment.
Wow, yeah, all right.
I'd be resident. I'm going to go through some of the background data. I'm going to try to go kind of briefly. It's all available on the website. So if you want to look back at it, you're more than welcome to go back or stop me if I'm going too fast. These are your current boundaries, and this is what your utilization looks like at all your buildings. So you can see we have some underutilization at Edgewood, Mill Valley, and Navin. Northwood is creeping up there, and that is one that's on our radar, definitely. And then Raymond is at 91%. If you look at the projections, and the projections were not done by my company. They were done by a company called FutureThink. You can see Northwood hits the extremes. We're at 108%, and that's if we don't make any changes. Raymond, something to note about that is it does naturally go down. It's projected to go down without any changes. So keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the presentation. But you can kind of see the utilizations all across the board in the projections, which is why we're here doing this. What this map shows, it's a closest school analysis. So this is what the boundaries would look like if every student went to their geographically closest school. As you can tell by the utilizations, this is not an option. This is something we hear all the time is, well, why can't my kid just go to the closest school, or why can't every kid just go to the closest school? Unfortunately, it doesn't work. And this is just more to prove a point that we would love to have that be the case, but we can't. Utilizations would be all over the place. What this shows is a live-attend analysis. So it shows where students live versus where they attend. We're really looking at intra-district transfers with this. So there's 304 kids that live in the Edgewood Elementary boundary that go to Edgewood Elementary. 16 of them transfer out of the district, 12 go to Mill Valley, and so on. So you can kind of get an idea of where kids are going across the district. This map shows student density. I don't think this is going to be a surprise to anybody. The students are more densely packed in subdivisions. But again, darker areas are higher in student density, so more students per square mile. And lighter areas show less students per square mile. So this one is something we really, really paid attention to within this process. This is the development that's going on in the district, and there is a ton. It's a little bit different than the last process, and Jonathan said that a lot while we were having meetings. The last process, we really had one section of the district that was being developed, and now it's all over the place. I mean, that's great. I'm sure the school district plays a huge part in that, but this is something that we had to be cognizant about throughout the entire process.
That's probably our greatest challenge.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to touch on how we created boundaries. So the task force created all the scenarios that we worked with. The only part that we had in it, we split the district up into planning units, which is just geographically areas that should go together. Transportation had a say in these, so we kind of based it on busing routes and areas that just made sense to go to school together. These are the puzzle pieces that the committee used to make the boundary scenarios. It just makes it easier. Now, these were split up later on in the process, but for our first meeting when we were making boundaries, and I think we made like 25 scenarios or something crazy like that.
We made a bunch.
This is what we used, and this is how we did it.
All right, so we'll jump into the scenarios actually that were designed by the task force through the variety of meetings. And again, the point of the scenarios was not to vote on or anything, not to be the official scenarios of any kind that would be recommended. These were scenarios that were meant to be put out to our community in order to get feedback. And then the task force would come together, and if a scenario would make the most sense, or if we needed to change something based off of feedback, then we would do that. So again, the scenarios was meant to get feedback. And again, we had 25-plus scenarios. You know, we had scenarios that were moving 350 kids. We had scenarios moving 40. We had kids scenarios moving 200. So we really worked through a really good, strong process where we got it narrowed down to four that we felt were appropriate that would give us good feedback. And again, scenario one, these have been available, you know, on our website throughout the entire process. So just a quick hit, scenario one moves 98 K through 3 students. Of course, we don't include our fourth graders because they're going to Creekview next year. And then again, some consistencies with the Cook's Point apartments going to Mill Valley. So the change units you can see with the lines.
Yeah, all the hash mark areas show the changes. So these are the current boundaries overlaid by the change area. So you can just kind of get an idea of what we're moving in each scenario.
And then with the utilizations of the live-in enrollment, kids that live within those boundaries. Scenario two was not much different. When we move on to that next slide, it shows the change. It's very similar to scenario one, but the uptown area was directed towards Navin instead of Edgewood. Only a section of that was the Edgewood. Scenario three was one where, you know, there was some conversation about, you know, Raymond being, you know, higher capacity currently. So we wanted to get some feedback in regards to that, to where a section of the Raymond district was being shifted to Navin, and then a portion shifted from Northwood to Edgewood, and again, the Cook's Point area and a little bit further north being shifted to Mill Valley. Scenario four was a similar scenario to one and two, just moving a lesser amount of students. If we click on the next one. So again, the uptown area was going to be remaining at Northwood, with a particular section going to Edgewood, as well as, again, with the Cook's Point area going to Mill Valley. So again, these are the four scenarios that we took out to get feedback on. And that's just a side-by-side comparison, just with utilizations. So, whew, we took back all the feedback. We went through the feedback. And the task force, I mean, it was an impressive process.
Yeah. I've never seen a group like that unanimously vote on what to do, and we did. So.
Yeah, we got it narrowed down, and great conversation, some discussion, some challenging. But in the end, the task force came together and really made the recommendation to make a slight alteration to scenario one, which involves the Edina Point Links area. And that change was based on feedback provided by the community through online surveys, as well as through in-person meetings. Actually, two of the in-person meetings that came up similar points. And we'll show you the change here in a little bit. With this recommendation, approximately 94 K-2 students would be impacted. We received that extensive feedback between Edina Point neighborhood kind of being split, trying to keep that together. The uptown area is kept together, going to Edgewood. It moves a greater quantity of students from Northwood to Edgewood, so they have a greater opportunity to know kids when they transition, and that will help them. We received the most positive feedback from our community. It's preferred by the redistricting task force. In Edgewood, too, you'd be like, wow, why are we just sending to Edgewood? Well, Edgewood is projected to really only increase by 2% over the next 5 years plus. Mm-hmm. So in the areas that was moved over to Edgewood are really not predicted to grow much as well. So it made a lot of sense to maximize Edgewood. And, of course, you see the numbers with Northwood. You know, the growth is definitely coming. So Cook's Point, that was a consistent move. The task force felt strongly about the Cook's Point area with the apartments. And then that land a little bit further north, if development ever happens, that would just be shifted automatically to Mill Valley because they have the ability to receive that growth. But also, too, the task force feels, you know, the district should reserve the right to make a decision when new developments occur before kids move into that development. The district administration should be able to say, well, we're designating this new development to go to this school. You know, that doesn't take a redistricting process to do. It's just looking at the numbers and what kind of development's going in. And again, with that recommendation from the community, that was the change. Edina Point, the Lakes area.
Yeah, we had inadvertently split Edina Point. So this change, all it does is correct that split. And so every home that's facing Woodline Drive is technically a part of Building Subdivision. So they would go to Edgewood. All of the Dena Point stays in Northwood.
And it really gave a clean line to the boundary, which was some of the feedback too. You know, when we talked about the different scenarios, with scenario two, some of the feedback was from the task force and in general, you know, moving only 24 students from Northwood and Avon kind of felt isolating, especially when you break it down by five grade levels. They might have less of an opportunity to know kids that they transition with. Plus two, Navin's going to be, you know, they're predicted, due to the enrollment, they're going to be at 86%+ in 5 years. And two, they have specialized programs. So we have to allow for classroom space for that too. So that 86% is even a little bit tighter than what it appears. Scenario three, Karen?
So with scenario three, Raymond Elementary School, like I said earlier, will naturally decrease over the next 5 years. So that giant area that we were moving from Raymond to, I think, Navin, the task force felt like that wasn't necessary. It also was pretty unpopular among folks.
So Raymond folks, yeah.
We heard loud and clear.
Yes.
We did.
They were voting.
Yes.
Sorry.
The task force also felt that any boundary adjustment could leave Raymond underutilized in the future, which is not what we want to do. So that's why that one came out.
And then with scenario four, you know, the task force really felt like we wanted to accomplish our goals. You know, we want to be able to hopefully make it to the next 4 or 5 years. Enough students work move. So we wanted to accomplish that goal of longevity for growth that we would need. So that just wasn't a good scenario to go with. These are the impacted areas highlighted in yellow. With Edgewood, Navin, to Mill Valley. Next steps, if the board does approve this tonight, next steps are going to be in March of 2020, here coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll be working on letters, making sure any family that's impacted by the redistricting will receive a letter stating such. And then, two, our principals at Edgewood and Mill Valley, they're going to hold open houses in May to welcome our families as they transition to their new building going in the next year. This was something that we did the last time, back in 14-15, and we received a lot of positive feedback from the people impacted that it was a very welcome transition, and it really helped our kids with that. So we want to do that again, based on the feedback from the community. And then, two, just a reminder, you know, intra-district transfer policy. Like, you know, I live in the Edgewood part of the district, and I want my kid to attend Navin, or because my babysitter's over there. Or if I live in Northwood, and I want my kid to go to Edgewood. Intra-district transfer policy remains the same. You know, we'll start accepting applications on April 1st, and then we'll notify parents, of course, that first full week of August, whether or not they're approved or not. It's an annual basis, so that always is available as well. Okay. Yes, Brian.
So when you were taking the development into account, were you looking at projects that have already started or that are planned or that are proposed?
Yeah, all the above. We had multiple meetings with the city.
So pretty much anything that's on the table, you
are
thinking is likely to happen.
But, you know, our decisions are only as good as the next development that comes into our district, too. You know, that could just be around the corner. Our projections are only as good as that as well. And a lot can change with one or two developments here or there. And we're well aware of that. And, you know, Karen might give me a hard time about it, but we talked about that a lot, about that growth and that concern.
There's a big misconception out there that when a house is built, like, five kids is going to come out of it immediately, and that's not true. It usually takes about 10 years until the maximum number of students are coming out of that unit. It
takes at least 9 months.
Add another 5 on until they come out.
Yeah, 9 months plus 5 years. Right. Right. That's true.
I have a question.
Yes, Amy.
Children with disabilities, are they going to be moved?
No, students that receive specialized services, Amy, they will continue to receive those specialized services if they needed to attend a specialized unit.
Okay.
For supports.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of our students with high need autism, they are specially placed at Mill Valley. Mm-hmm. Some of our multi-handicapped students that need some additional assistance, they are specially placed at Maven. Mm-hmm. And some of our emotional needy students are specialized placed at Northwood. Those kids will not be impacted. We actually have kids that live in those areas that are to be impacted by the redistricting. But they will not change schools,
okay.
And we'll communicate that with them as well.
Great, thank you.
Well, and I really appreciated the comment in there that you know, with this plan, you reserve the right to identify new developments going to a school other than, you know, the designated school that it would appear they would be attending, because there's so much, you know. We just don't know what's going to happen out there.
Right.
So, and you look at Northwood, projected at, like, with the redistricting, I think you've got, I can't remember, it was 79 or 82% or something, and you're thinking, whoa, one more development, and you're going to be at 100%, you know, in 2 years or something. So,
and two, you know, certain developments are being developed for a particular, maybe,
yes,
you know, age.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't guarantee that that's who's going to be moving in,
right,
though.
Right. Right.
So we have to be prepared for that the best that we can with the information that we have, so
right,
we can make the most informed decision.
Kind of like Todd's projections, they're only as good as the next,
yep,
budget that comes out, and it's only as good as,
right,
the next project,
right,
that comes.
Right.
We've worked closely with the city.
Yeah.
They've been great to work with.
Similar process 5 years ago that,
mm-hmm,
we landed pretty,
yeah,
much where we thought we were going to land, and I,
right,
would expect that we'd be, no, definitely as the population grows, continuing to moderate, but we would slate to do this again in 5 years, to be good stewards of that process. So lots of time, lots of volunteer,
yeah,
time has gone into this. Lots of time on behalf of them spreading 25 maps out in front of me. Do you know how that conversation went? It was pretty short.
That was an interesting meeting.
It was overload. So, but I couldn't be more pleased with the commitment of committee members and community people to give feedback and be a part of that.
I mean, certainly hearing your comments validates the work that was done. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of experience, and I really, I appreciate so much the time that everybody has put into this, you know. Really impressive. I think, you know, one question I had, because there was a chamber meeting this morning, and I was talking a little bit about the redistricting, and somebody asked me, well, what about the high schools? You know, now that we've got early college and the high school, are there any concerns with, you know, running out of space there? And I said, no, but I said, you know, maybe Creekview and Bunsold, maybe they're going to be a little bit tighter. And so, you know, looking at this, I see it's about a 13% increase over the next 5 years for our elementaries. So, you know, do you feel comfortable with Creekview and Bunsold?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the projections that we've done last year, absolutely, especially over the next 5 years.
Right.
Creekview is projected to increase over the next 10 years. Let me see if I have it.
I think it's about
17% over the next 10 years.
Okay.
And Bunsold about 15% over the next 10 years. Again, that's
right,
based on the projections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the further you go out with those,
yeah,
you know, just like what Diane said.
Right.
You know, but yeah, feel very comfortable, especially over, mm-hmm, the next 4 to 5 years. But again,
right, yeah,
you know,
who knows? Exactly. Yeah.
So, how is capacity calculated for the elementary schools?
Capacity?
It's basically 600 for four of the five.
Mm-hmm. So, we worked with elementary principals, mm-hmm, and we looked at what is the capacity of the building, and we took into consideration specialized programs, etc., as well. Class space, are we above any thresholds, you know, for the county or the city for fire and safety reasons? So that's how we establish the thresholds.
Okay.
So how many kids per room? I mean, just, I've been in Edgewood recently, and it's packed. Every school we go into seems pretty packed. So.
Well, it depends on how the building is utilized. Because I was a principal at Edgewood many years ago, and I had more students in my building at that time. Rooms just had to be used differently. Right now, Edgewood's allowed to have reading specialists to have their own rooms, where we used to share rooms. Intervention specialists can have their own rooms, where now they share, you know, they can have their own rooms now, but previously they shared rooms. So with capacity, the closer we get to those capacities, the more uncomfortable we will get. But again, there's space for that amount of kids in the building. So it's program-based, though, too, with specialized units and everything as well. That's why Mill Valley is a little bit lower, because Navin and Mill Valley are model buildings. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a little bit different of a need at Mill Valley for class base.
I appreciate how intentional you've been in order to try to bring people in the community into the process, provide information to parents and so forth. And just to clarify the recommendation that's coming forth, did I understand you say that the task force was unanimous in this?
It's a pretty strong recommendation. People who spent a lot of time looking at a lot of maps, going through a lot of surveys.
There were some disagreements on what's a second or a third, but in the end, it came down to what the clear choice should be.
So the next question, have you decided what development you're looking in?
I was just going to ask her that too, Amy.
Okay.
She's looking by Raina.
Oh, that came out tonight.
Oh, well, there you go. All right. So welcome aboard. We'll just welcome you now.
And I don't have kids, so I'm not going to add anything to you.
Okay. You can live anywhere you want to.
I don't know.
There's a 9-month to a 10-year plan being
spoken. Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate all the work.
Thank
Any
you.
Other questions?
Yep. Thank you.
Any public participation?
No.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you. All right. There's no public participation, so we'll move on to our reports. Ms. Savage, do you have anything you'd like to share with High Point? I know you emailed your report today.
Yeah, I emailed a copy of the update. The actual monthly meeting is the fourth Wednesday of the month, this month.
Okay.
Just that they're running into the somewhat expected delays in construction.
Surprise, surprise.
Way over the estimate, so they're going through that process and deciding what they need to scale back on. So that'll be going on for quite a while. That's really the big thing going on.
Okay. That's it?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Superintendent's report.
So before I get started, I, as you know, for the past few weeks have not been in the office, been out on some medical leave, and I would be remiss if I did not thank Assistant Superintendent Langhouse for stepping up and doing a tremendous job in some less than ideal circumstances over the past weeks. He was very happy to see me return. Some calamity days in there and ice days and different things. So, Jonathan, I just wanted to thank you for all you did over the past couple weeks and supporting the board and supporting me, and so I can take care of my health and get better and come back quickly. So thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So I also go over enrollment report. We're down about 34 kids this year compared to last year. So if you think about us adding Alt K throughout the year, we were up 30 kids, which was just about what we had increased in Alt K. So what that means, 34 kids, you know. We have missed 4 days of school on Calamity Days, 5 days at Raymond. We'll be making up school on March 9th. Stadium update. Again, we're down to punch list items and the final fix on the track, which requires warmer weather. So sunshine gets us excited for that. So we'll keep you posted on that. That is really a weather dependent thing right now. So it does not prevent the track team from practicing or anything like that. So we'll be able to go ahead and move forward with that. It may prevent, you know, when the repairs are done for a couple of days, but in the long
but they can
haul,
have a meet. They can have a meet.
In the big scope, we're participating on that track. The principals are super excited. Next Friday, we do staffing discussions for next school year, so I'm sure they're all wagering against one another for staff.
Yeah,
that's right. I've already started to, they think if they send them to me early, that somehow gives them an up on everyone else. I also want to congratulate, we got an email today on the Japanese Bowl winners from the high school and early college high school, and we have some students moving forward to nationals, and certainly thank our Japanese teachers for their work, Danielle in particular with that team, so wish them the best of luck. I would also point out that, believe it or not, winter sports season is wrapping up. Boys basketball, girls basketball both compete tomorrow night in their tournament games, and wrestling would start sectionals at home next Saturday. So wish those groups the best of luck. And just as a highlight, our bowling team has done well. You go on and on. But one particular thing that I think is really a standout is the evolution of our new girls wrestling team and girls competing in that. And we hosted the first ever home duel a couple Thursdays ago. So super excited for another opportunity for kids to be involved in something positive and see that grow to, you know, 10, 12, 13 athletes over time. So excited that that's happened.
Great. That's it.
That's it.
Okay. Any questions of her? Welcome back.
Thank you.
For my report, I know we had a community coffee this past Saturday. And any, you want to just share anything with the board about community coffee? I think you had, do you have one person attend?
Yes.
Okay.
One person
good.
Attended, and okay. Their question had to do with they are a homeschool family, and they would like their son, who's in seventh grade, to be able to attend gym classes at the school.
Okay.
So like a part-time enrollment.
Uh-huh.
You know, she knows that the sports and everything, and that she has checked, and Fairbanks does it, North Union, but she would like him to go to Marysville. So
I think you just told her to contact Jonathan and do that.
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
Tell her that.
Okay.
That we would get back and tell
Her
instruction on what to do.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll get that information. We'll get that name to Jonathan so that we can reach out and get her that information. Okay. Great. Also, I know we've been talking about this for a couple months, and these last 2 months have been fairly busy with other things for the board, but I would really like to schedule a work session in March, either the week of March 2nd or March 9th, so that we can review our work plan and also discuss some possible agenda presentation topics for the future. I know Nan had sent me some ideas, so and I know we do have a work plan item coming up this spring that I believe Mr. Luke is going to help us on possibly.
Oh, that,
yeah. Yep. So just be checking your calendars and be looking for an email, and we'll try and get that confirmed. As you know, I'm the student achievement liaison, and so I try and send you some information about student achievement. And so this month, a lot of times I'm forwarding information that comes from Kim Miller-Smith, who kind of oversees that for the Ohio School Boards Association. But her topic this month was the difference between communication and engagement. And it's really, I think it's some interesting, there's some interesting articles out there. There was an article in the January school management news all about that. And then I also forward you the email that she had sent that had an article talking about teachers making home visits as a way to truly engage with the family. You know, the difference between when you communicate, they come in to see presentations or things like that. And so they're witnessing what's going on, but are they truly engaged? So I just think these articles kind of bring up some good questions and have some share some good ideas, because I think that really ties into our personalized learning. And I think we're doing a lot of that, you know. But they're always, I think, again, just kind of good articles to maybe make you think about some questions that we might want to ask. And then next thing I wanted to talk about, I forwarded an thank you. I forwarded you an email from, I received an email from Pastor Barry at Trinity Lutheran School. This, if you recall, last month we approved sending a letter to the editor, to the Marysville Journal Tribune, and one of the comments in there, I had commented about how public schools are held to high standards, unlike private and parochial schools, because they are not required to do state testing, and they are they're not given a report card like public schools, and they felt like that statement unfairly categorized all private and parochial schools as not being very good, and I understand where they're coming from. So so anyways, we had some good conversation, and they sent me some information that just talked about their test results at Trinity Lutheran, and that they do hold their students to high standards, and that really we've had a great partnership with Trinity, especially as, you know, they're preparing, they use a lot of the same resources that we do, and they want the students when they leave Trinity to be able to flow right into our school system as well. And so I just told them that I would definitely forward that information to you, which I did. We could have a discussion about it, and if you would consider, you know, if we would want to make a statement, maybe another letter to the editor, to just kind of clarify that while that is true, they are not held to those same standards. Some parochial schools do, in fact, you know, use testing, and that we're proud of the options that our community has for our students, for whichever place they choose to send their students.
Do you need a discussion tonight, or like at the work session?
Oh, I, you know, if you just had comments tonight, I'd be happy to draft a letter that just kind of clarifies that we did not intend to send the impression that we thought our parochial schools are not good.
Yeah, the intent was to look at what is required, and public schools have a variety of different and private schools are in a position to be able to make decisions as to what sort of testing, what sort of standards, what sort of curriculums that they would want to have. Mm-hmm. And the legislation that's being discussed in the state legislature has a direct impact on public education across the state.
Right.
And it's going to hurt financially.
Right. And maybe not Marysville specifically right now. And so that's, I did explain to them it was a statewide.
That's my point. None of, under the law that is currently in place, none of our schools are on the list of Ed Choice scholarship schools. So it doesn't today have a direct impact. And the reason, and my report, I will touch on this, but, you know, because of the Ed Choice and the connection to the state report card, which everybody agrees is flawed, the potential was there that we could be directly impacted. And North Union and Fairbanks, under the current law, have buildings that are directly impacted by this. So it's something that's in our community, our larger community, and so forth. It's something that potentially could cause some real significant issues for our district. And the intent of that message was to say that public schools are required under state law to do certain things. Private schools are under no legal responsibility to do that. And certainly the local private schools that we have in our community have chosen to have appropriate high standards and to try to match the standards the kids in other schools in our community face. There was nothing, targeted.
Right, right.
At them.
Well, I feel a little bad that it came across that way, and mm-hmm. when you read it, I could kind of hear how you might have taken it that way.
Yes.
So I would like to clarify that mm-hmm. it definitely was not meant
as
any kind of criticism of Trinity, which mm-hmm. has a very good reputation in town.
Right.
And we do have a good relationship.
Right.
Because there are students coming to the district. Mm-hmm. So that's for sure. Mm-hmm. There are private schools that have very high standards, whether it's mandated by the state or not.
Right.
We all know that.
Right.
And I think, at least speaking for myself, I have a high respect for Trinity and what mm-hmm. they're doing. Mm-hmm.
So if I drafted another letter to just re-clarify that statement, as long as, you know, not saying that there's, I mean, the statement was true, mm-hmm. but just further clarification that that we recognize our local parochial schools do have high educational standards and appreciate that.
We applaud them for voluntarily taking that action.
Right. Okay. Great. Thank you. Also wanted to point out our SROs were honored at City Council meeting on February 10th. We had our building visits on January 21st, so that was after our last meeting, and as always, just impressed with the work ethic, the positive attitudes, the welcoming environments, the occasional hugs. It's always fun. Opportunities for involvement. I just saw in the building notes, Northwood has their Passion Career Fair tomorrow from 9:30 to 12 and 1 to 3. Several of us are signed up for the OSBA Social Emotional Conference on February 25th. That's at the Convention Center all day. There's a Beyond Resilience program that's going to be held at Bunsold. It's not a school-sponsored event, but it's at Bunsold from 6 to 9 at night. I think that's, you know, kind of talking about that social-emotional type of stuff, so I would suggest looking into that. We have the Early College High School Internship Presentations and the Central Region Conference, both on March 11th. And that's at nighttime from 5 to 7, the internship presentations. The FFA banquet is March 14th. We're always invited to that, but they like to know so that they can plan accordingly for dinner. If you don't want to attend dinner, the awards are in the auditorium, usually starting around 6 o'clock. Chamber of Commerce this morning, I thought it was really exciting to hear there's three different business associations: Marysville Business Association, Richwood, Plain City, Industrial Parkway, and all of them offer scholarships to students in Union County. And now at this point, right now at this year, every single high school is offered scholarships through these business associations, which I think is great because we're trying to promote those partnerships and, you know, that partnership. So. And also they really talked about the importance of everyone being counted in the census this year, and that for anybody who's not counted, our community would lose $1,200 per person per year in federal funding for 10 years. So if you get that letter on the census, fill it out accurately. And finally, the Chamber annual celebration this year is on April 23rd, which is not our board meeting night. The past several years, we've changed our board meeting. But this year, it's the Thursday after our board meeting, and it's going to be at the Union County Fairgrounds, a celebration of the 200th birthday of Union County. Finally, Nan, Dick, and I attended Mastering Board Leadership Skills, whenever that was, a couple weekends ago. I think it's a really helpful workshop. I've gone, I think, every year. But it provides guidance on being a collaborative leader, policy changes, communication tips, transportation, and legal. And I didn't know, did either you or Dick want to share a highlight from meeting from that?
A couple of things that I think came away with. One of the items that they talked about was how to make board meetings more dynamic, more exciting. And I can't imagine our board meetings being more exciting and entertaining It was a very informative meeting. Learned a lot about school buses and bus transportation and issues with that. And so it was time well spent.
I just want to cover the busing. Mm-hmm. That is something I had never heard before, and mm-hmm. I thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. Everything that goes into calculating the cost of buses. The issue with people not stopping for school buses,
mm-hmm.
I did not realize how huge an issue that is.
Mm-hmm.
And they covered several accidents that have occurred all around the country, and that most people almost don't realize that you're supposed to stop with school buses, which was shocking to me, frankly, but so it's a huge, huge issue, and it's a huge expense for the district, so mm-hmm. that was very interesting mm-hmm. Information.
Okay. I thought I had jotted down a couple of things. As we were going through the workshop, they would, in the policy changes, they shared some policy changes that boards need to be aware of, because there were requirements for boards to adopt certain updates in the policies. And one of them was talking about graduation changes. So there's graduation requirements that call for having at least one local seal adopted and approved by the board. And so I ran that past our superintendent, who, not surprising to me, said, yes, we're working on that. So, it's kind of nice to go to these workshops when they tell you things, you can ask the questions, and be like, yep, that's all, they've been working on it, you feel comfortable with it. There was another one that talked about OTES changes, and this one, Ohio Department of Education has until May 1st to come up with a new framework for OTES, and then we have to have a policy by July 1st, which could, we'll put this out here now, we generally do two reads on policies. We wouldn't be able to do two reads if they didn't approve it until May 1st. So, again, that's kind of one of those, I shouldn't say typical, but it has happened in the past. There are some unreasonable guidelines put forth by legislation where, they created this legislation without really knowing how processes work. Because, again, we're aware of that, and, they suggested making sure that the union is aware of this and everybody's aware. So I think we can feel comfortable with the board, but again, just making that statement that it may not be a two-read policy, that it won't be a two-read policy if ODE doesn't make their decision until May 1st. So, and that's it for my report, finally. Thank you. Oh, I did. I'm sorry, Todd. I did look right over you.
Mine's very brief.
Okay. Thank goodness, right.
Just a couple staffing updates. Monday this week, my new assistant treasurer started. And you may remember Deb Carpenter. In my career, this is the third time I've hired Deb. So I'm glad to have her back. She's going to do a great job and off to a great start already. And then also, my accounts receivable person, her last day will be March, I think, 6th, maybe. So we're already in the process of filling that position. We had a pretty good interview, I think it was 2 days ago, a second mm-hmm. rounder tomorrow, and another mm-hmm. additional first-round interview. So I think we're well on our way to filling that position as well. Our fiscal year 19 audit is pretty much complete, I think. We mm-hmm. keep getting little questions trickling in here and there, but otherwise I'd heard informally that there's no significant issues. I would expect a formal report here relatively soon. And we're in the middle of budget meetings for fiscal year 21. We've got three or four of those so far. Wrap up the rest of those mostly next week. Get all of our budget meetings complete. That's it.
Great. Thank you, Todd. Mm-hmm. Apologize.
No problem.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
You skipped over Todd, so I was thinking I could just kind of build in his time.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
I emailed out to you my report earlier today, and hopefully all of you got that. first item is a choice. Had conversations with both Senator Burke and Representative Richardson about that issue. Gave an outline of how it's ended up that the House has adopted the Senate's version of the bill. They amended it to their satisfaction, and then the House bill got amended by the Senate, and so they've kind of swapped labels. It's in a conference committee right now, hearing testimony. I submitted written testimony, encouraging them to do a few things very specific. As they look at the legislation, and I attach that testimony to my report. The state report card is the other piece of this that's going on. There's work that's ongoing that's kind of been pushed to the back burner because the choice has a deadline that's looming, and so that seems to be where the focus is. Had several long conversations with Representative Richardson about that, and so hopefully we can get something accomplished in terms of addressing some of the shortcomings. I went to Washington, D.C. for the National School Board Advocacy Institute. I was paired with a gentleman from Ida School District, Pat Szymanski, and he and I met with Senator Brown's staff, Senator Portman's staff, and Congressman Jordan's staff. And I indicated that there were really two things that we focused on in our presentation. Proper funding for Individuals with Disabilities Education Act IDEA. Congress pledged, when the law was passed, to fund 40% of the additional cost of providing students educational opportunity who have disabilities. They're currently funding at about 15%, and that's pretty much the case. Todd was able to provide me that over the last 4 years, our federal funds increased by about $216,000. During that same time, our costs have increased $1.3 million. And so that was shared with the offices in Washington. In our presentation, we tried to focus, or I tried to focus, on what was going on in our school district, where career technical education and special education come together, and how students with disabilities receiving special services that are connected to career technical education pathways and so forth receive tremendous benefit, and offers them the opportunity to get the skills, training, certifications, and so forth that they need to be successful moving forward. This was the presentation, Marysville School's approach that I presented. Patrick Mansky put together this document as kind of the lead document, and he talked about a lot, and I talked about Marysville. And when it was my turn to talk about Marysville, I utilized this document that was put together by Mark Gallagher and Steve Griffith that talks about how early intervention pays off financially overall over time. And I also used information from our course descriptions focusing on some of the career technical pathways that we have, the opportunities that students have. And I received and shared an email that I got with our superintendent and Senator Portman's staff would like to come and visit our school district and see what we're doing. So the people that are coming are the people that make the decisions and encourage the senators to enact them. I also provided some additional notes, some kind of high points of the meetings and so forth that I went to. The first is too coincidental to be a coincidence. Now, that's a quote from that philosopher Yogi Berra, who was a catcher for the Yankees long years ago. And that kind of introduced a statement one of the speakers made, that every state has created school boards because every state recognized public education is a community activity and responsibility. And so the work this body does is mirrored across the nation in communities all over everywhere. Educating our kids in Raymond, in Northwood, in Mill Valley, and high school, middle school, every place. That's a community activity. There was also a focus at the national level on the digital divide, the lack of access to high-speed internet. And one interesting idea that came was one local school district got a partnership with a wireless phone provider, and they had hotspots in the library that kids could check out and take home so that they would have access to the internet if they didn't have high-speed internet in their homes. We also received information from a national poll that was conducted by the National School Board Association. And they had two polling firms that worked together. One tends to work with Republicans, and the other one tends to work with Democrats, and trying to make sure that there was not a political bias in the information they gathered. I provided the link to the full poll. But the poll indicated that 64% of the people in this country support increased funding for public education. And 8 in 10 people support increased funding, even if taxes are increased. So even if it's going to cost more, they think it ought to be done. And 73% believe that public tax dollars should not be taken away from public schools to fund private education. And so those were really strong messages that were sent. One last point, I've provided some additional information and other stuff. One last point that just came from the whole experience is that public education faces the challenge of providing quality educational experiences today which prepare children for the future, for jobs and careers, for other challenges that don't exist at this point in time. And again, leaning on that great philosopher Yogi Berra, he said, "It is tough to make predictions, especially about the future."
Thank you very much.
That's my
all right. Thank you. Appreciate all the time you put into that trip to Washington.
Hopefully you provided a little dynamic activity.
All right. Okay. Next up, do we have a safety report?
No, that's not till next month.
Okay.
They did get approved on the grant, though. So
oh, good.
Everything is back in shape and back in order, so they did get grant money funded.
Okay.
So.
Oh, yeah. Did you put that up?
No.
Okay.
Dick did.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we should be, we're not having, you know, Holly no longer.
Right, right.
Heads it up. There is a new lady, Nancy Beal, and we're not having as many meetings.
Okay. I am seeing her name on some other things though, too. So I know
right.
I know she's out there
right.
doing things.
So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see what takes place next month.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve minutes from our January regular meeting.
So moved.
Just a second, and our January 28th special meeting and our February 19th special meeting.
And I'll still say
okay, motion by Ms. Power.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments, questions, corrections? Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Let's see, should I just skip over the treasure item? Okay, I'd accept a motion to approve the treasure items.
Please do not skip those.
Okay. I know, yeah. I'm sorry, did we have a motion? Motion by Ms. Powers? You have a second?
Second
by Mr. Luke. Any comments?
Mainly just the usual items, and as usual, note some generous donations in there as well.
Yep, always appreciate those. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, roll call.
Don't think we had a motion yet, did we?
Oh, yeah, we had. Yeah, Mrs. Powers and Mr. Luke. Mrs. Powers motioned and Mr. Luke.
Thank you.
We're just right next to each other. Yeah, sorry. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve the K-4 redistricting recommendation for the 2020-2021 school year.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Luke, second by Ms. Savage. Any comments?
I really appreciate all the hard work that was done. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Also appreciate all the time that the people volunteered to be on the task force. It was pointed out that they gave up a long Saturday, to do that. I know there were other meetings and there were lots of other opportunities for them to spend looking at maps and drawing lines and thinking about things. I appreciate all of that.
I want to say thank you for keeping neighborhoods together.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've heard from community members when you've gone through this redistricting. If you split right through a neighborhood, that is very problematic for families. You know, one friend goes to one school, her best friend lives across the street, she goes to another school. It creates a bit of heartache for the student body, so I appreciate you guys being here.
I was happy to hear about the framework that you put into place for community input, and that people did take advantage of that. You got a lot of input from the families. I'm really happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, this second time around that we've done it, and just like many things, it just keeps getting better, And so, again, I really appreciate the time that went into it, and good stuff. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve to pay Paul Devine $131.57 for a total of 4 hours of CPI training.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers.
Any comments or questions? Okay, roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Abstain. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Comments?
No surprises. Supplementals for the spring. Volunteers. I would like to point out two retirements. Pam Warline, who has been in transportation department forever, and Bill Keck retiring again, this time making it official. I believe Lynette ended up telling me he's been here for right at 33 years. Her response at first was like, well, forever.
I know, I'm surprised it's not more than 33.
Well, I thought so too, but that's what she ended up telling me. So wish them well in their future endeavors. Certainly have been great assets to the district. And I think that's all for me.
Yeah, could you speak to the outdoor athletic facility room site coordinator?
Yeah. So one of the things that has come about as a result of the new stadium is that and it really kind of facilitated through our trials in the fall is hiring someone at a small stipend really to kind of be the caretaker of the facility. So prep it for things that are coming in. Make sure things are set up and ready to go. Clean up afterwards. In general, caretaker is that phrase. So,
okay.
that would be in place as we move forward.
Is that a permanent type thing, or was this more of a trial?
So we anticipate something being permanent, but this is a way we wanted to try it and see, you know, how many hours it's going to take, what are the needs. Some of that's unforeseen at this point.
Right.
What does it take for a maybe a soccer rental, or as opposed to maybe a concert or something like that? So I think we're going to give a couple things trial and error and see what happens, and then try to come up with something that makes sense for the long run. But this would be our first shot at that.
Okay. I know there's also two first read policies on here. They're both regarding agenda format and process for consent agendas. Like, for example, this is a consent agenda.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was, is there some legislative, the wording in there that it can't be a controversial item included in that consent agenda?
Correct. And pretty much all the revisions you've seen as of late is to help get us current with something that's changed like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Normally it's wording.
Okay. And there's the normal OHSAA membership that we approve every year.
Nothing new.
Yeah. Any other, comments or questions? Other than I second your, you know, how much we appreciate Bill Keck and Pam and wish them well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll see them at the end of the year. Okay.
I was at the high school and saw Bill in the hallway, and he made a point of telling me that this was his last year.
Mm-hmm.
He has been a pillar of our school district. He has done so much for kids in our community, providing leadership, stability, and support. He's just been an amazing individual, and has been able to build and maintain community relationships that have helped to establish our VOAG program, our FFA program, as nationally recognized. So, wish him well in retirement. Hope he catches a lot of fish.
Yep, and appreciate all the work that he's done supporting the teachers that are running that program now.
Yes.
They did a really nice job transitioning that. So, hey, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Comments and questions from board members? Mr. Smith?
Thank you for hosting tonight. And it was really great to learn how intentional the efforts are in Raymond to build relationships between staff, teachers, and students, but also between the students themselves. And just, you know, all of the social, emotional support, everything else goes on in making sure the kids don't have barriers to their education. And if you don't address those barriers, the education never takes place. Congratulations on Japanese language, boys basketball team, girls basketball team, all doing well, wrestling team, everybody headed to state competition. Provided for you a gift that I begged, borrowed, and I promise I didn't really steal it, some pens and other things, some information about that. Also, you got some information about lawsuits against Jewel. It was provided by the law firm that is combining all of those lawsuits and so forth. And I signed up to be a contact person for future information about that should something transpire.
Thank you. Ms. Savage.
I'm going to ditto all the comments regarding all the sports teams. I don't want to go back through all of them again, but you should be very proud of all of our teams that are competing so well this season. March 14th is our next community coffee. We hold a community coffee for all community members at Fifth Street Cafe from 9 to 10 o'clock, the second Saturday of each month. And it's an opportunity for community members to come out and share some positive experience or troublesome experience regarding their district. I'm pleasantly surprised that a lot of times people are happy about things going on in their district. So thank you to all our administrators at all our different buildings for the wonderful programs that they're doing that our community members are praising. Just wanted to reiterate the February 29th Beyond Resilience meeting. It's a $10 admission cost, and it's sponsored by Impact 60, Memorial Health, Mental Health and Recovery for Union County. It's a national speaker coming in to discuss how we can help our children. And I think it would be a good opportunity for everyone to attend. So want to bring attention to that. And then just the next High Point meeting is February 26th. So.
Thank you very much. Great presentation tonight. Jonathan, thank you for taking over the role. And glad to have you back. Okay? So there we go. On
to
you,
Brian.
It's always great to be at Raymond. I just live right down the road, and I still have good memories of my kids being here through fourth grade. And I appreciate what you said about working with the kids on social-emotional learning wherever they are and being committed to helping every single kid in the district, which is really the spirit of public education. And congratulations on the redistricting team coming together like you did. Thank you for all that work. I'm going to mention that the marching band was in Disney this week, which I happen to know because my daughter is in the trombone section. And they're back. I got a lot of updates, like on the bus and
still
standing
on the bus.
Line at a ride. So I hope to get more detail in person, but I think they had a good time. They got to march and spent a lot of time going on rides, which is a very educational
experience. Thank you.
Nothing to add?
Just two things. I would like to congratulate Dick Smith and Sue Devine. They're going to be honored by OSBA for their Award of Achievement March 11th at Villa Milano. So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Certainly speaks to their dedication to not only the students in Marysville, but the state of Ohio. So we appreciate that. Also, Carol, you know, to me, there's no greater calling than to be the ambassador of hope for kids, and crushed it tonight. I mean, our elementary principals are gifted at that anyways, and there's some new platforms to help you be a little more successful, and so, you know, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, it plays dividends for our kids in the long run.
Thank you.
Well said. Thank you very much. Also want to point out a few of the building note things that really touched me, and I was very appreciative. If you happen to notice in Bunsold, they're doing some amazing things to continue to build their support for social-emotional health. They've got a new student group called Gatekeepers through a partnership with PASS. They're also offering some parent learning sessions on conference nights. So I think all of us know, oh, we've got this great program that we're going to offer to parents, and the night comes around, and a handful of parents show up if you're lucky. And I understand, people are busy. So they said, okay, conference nights, we usually have a pretty good turnout. So let's go ahead and offer some additional little sessions for parents. Instead of just coming in for, you know, to have a few conferences, you can go in and learn about mastery learning. You can learn about social emotional programs that we're offering here at the school, resources that are available to you as parents. So I was really pleased to see that. Also wanted to call out the, you know, I love the Raymond Kindness Club, and just that they're more engaged in the process and they're helping you and stuff, and you can see what a difference that's making in them and for your whole school. I had an opportunity to attend the Bunsold Life Bio presentation, which is another great partnership where students interviewed two different senior families. There were a group of two students that interviewed a senior person and then helped write their biography. Amazing program. It was kind of their first year doing it there. They've done one at the high school, but they're going to try and expand that program next year. So that was wonderful. And then kind of speaking about those programs, Creekview had their wellness night, where they had an amazing amount of resources available for parents. And Linda Perkins, who's attended our meeting several times, she's the PTO president there, she coordinated the entire evening, and it was a wonderful event. And there were several families there who asked great questions and were really pleased to have that information. But, you know, it's like, oh, man, I wish that would have been packed. I was hoping for a full parking lot, but certainly appreciate all the work that went into that. And then, of course, I have to thank Bob Kraszewski for when he was part of that Random Acts of Culture, because they're actually called budgies, and I can't remember how many different strains, but he came in during lunchtime and presented to all the different groups that came in at lunch and just explained the process of, you know, what you do when you raise budgies. And the kids, I think, really enjoyed it. It was very interesting. So let's see. I just heard this morning that we have some art shows scheduled for this spring. The Houston House, they always host some art shows for our students, and so I'll send out those dates to you. But I think that's it. How about a motion to adjourn? Okay, I think we'll say Mr. Smith motioned and Ms. Powers second. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?